Are you kidding me right now? Oh my goodness. Wow. Wow. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Holy moly. The screech, Justin. What was that? He did not do that in rehearsal, I promise you. That was so good. So good, man. Somebody check Joel for carpal tunnel, though. I mean, man, you might have some of that. I love this series so much. It is something we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. And every year we just, the band just wows me with their talent, their ability to pull off a song like that. That is not an easy song. You know, like some people will tell you never try to cover Whitney Houston, which is very true. And Stevie Wonder is another one of those guys you want to be careful with. That was unbelievable. That song, though, yeah, that song, Superstition, as Abby mentioned, or maybe it was Landon, I guess, I don't know. It was actually released in October of 1972, and it became the lead track of Stevie's 15th album, Talking Book. And by January of 1973, it had risen to the number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. That same year, Superstition won 2 Grammys, Best Rhythm and Blues Song and Best R&B Vocal Performance Male. And in 1998, the song was actually inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. In 2004, Rolling Stone magazine listed it at number 74 on the list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. If you have never heard that song before, you've been living under a rock, probably. It's been around a long time and has been a fan of many generations. Now, what catches most people about the song is that rhythm and groove that you hear from the clavinet sound that Joel was playing, and of course, Stevie Wonder's catchy melody in the song. But what is behind the meaning of the song is what I'm most interested in today. There was an interview that Stevie Wonder did in 2000 with NPR, and he revealed in that interview that the lyrics are actually an antithesis to people who believe in superstitions. It was sort of poking fun at those who believe these ideas that are sort of silly, these conspiracies or legends that exist in our world that we so easily believe. He writes in the chorus, "When you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way." And Wonder's intention was to expose how naive we can often be when told something that just isn't true. And, well, wouldn't you know it, 50 years later, not a whole lot has changed. In fact, in 2017, a gentleman named Peter McIndoe began a satirical conspiracy called Birds Aren't Real. Some of you may know this. It was in response to fanatical conspiracies that began to float in the social media space during and after the 2016 election. And it began by him scrawling on a piece of cardboard, "Birds aren't real," and walking down the streets of Nashville where protests were happening. And it soon became this national phenomenon, especially among millennials and Gen Zers. Eventually, this simple sign that McIndoe wrote on turned into a full-blown conspiracy, claiming that the government wiped out all birds at one point in time and replaced them with look-alike drones for surveillance purposes. In other words, according to the Birds Aren't Real conspiracy, the birds chirping in your neighborhood in the morning are more than just a wake-up call. They are the eyes and ears of our government. Slogans began to emerge as the conspiracy caught momentum. I love it. If it flies, it spies. Or this one is really good. Bird watching goes both ways. I really like that. Now, eventually, McIndoe broke character. He revealed the whole thing was a farce to see how far people would go with a conspiracy of misinformation. And to this day, it is still a conspiracy, believe it or not, that has wings. I mean, come on. It was right there. It was too easy. The whole thing might give us a good laugh. In fact, I had a conversation with my son, and I was like, "You heard about this Birds Aren't Real thing?" And he's like, "Yeah, Dad, You know, that's why the pigeons, they're surveilling us, man. I mean, we were laughing about it, but it's caught on. The whole thing, it really does give us a good laugh, or it should give you a good laugh. If you're looking it up like, is this a real thing? Please don't. It's not a real thing. But I do believe McIndoe was successful in revealing how easy it is for us to believe just about anything. Some of the stuff that I hear out of people's mouths is shocking to me. Things that they claim to believe. And I'll be honest, there are things that I have claimed to believe that looking back is laughable at times. Yes. Now, while believing that the birds aren't real conspiracy might seem fairly harmless, right? There are loads of conspiracies, misinformation, falsities, and superstitions that can be absolutely destructive to our lives, especially our faith, if we aren't careful. We live in a time period that is unlike any in history. The amount of information at our fingertips is endless. You can ask Google or Siri or Alexa anything, and it will bring up a multitude of opinions and information for you. That is something that didn't start until only 30 years ago. Google has only existed for a little over 20 years itself. Humans have never had to deal with the amount of conflicting information in the way they do today. Part of the problem is that we were never created, nor are we equipped to deal with the onslaught of information that comes our way on a daily basis. And I gotta admit, don't you feel that sometimes? You feel that, don't you? When you wake up in the morning and you start scrolling in TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you turn on the TV, the waves of information, the conflicting opinions, the misinformation, the just opinions of people that just take off. It's overwhelming, isn't it? And if you're like me, it can be anxiety-inducing. People have a harder time going to sleep at night now than ever before in history. And part of that is because of the anxiety that's brought on by the massive amounts of information that we're fed on a daily basis. We just aren't equipped to deal with all of it. So what do we do? Like, how do we navigate this world that we live in? How can we become people who are actually capable of sifting through the noise and building our lives only on what is true? How can we shed that anxiety of constant misinformation and exchange it instead for a peace that the Bible says transcends our own understanding? Because if you're like me, that's where I want to be. I want my life built on what is true, and I want to experience a peace that transcends even what I could imagine. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope. There's hope for us. There's hope, and we're gonna learn that there is hope in all of the confusion and the stressful information floating around in our heads and in our worlds, and there is a way forward, I believe, through the muck of it all. So we're gonna take a look at what the Bible has to say about how we can be people that build our lives on truth and navigate and sift through all of the misinformation and falsities and conspiracies and superstitions that exist in our world. So if you haven't done so yet, open up your phone and the YouVersion app. It's a totally free app. Get it, download it, use it. Really good. Go to more and events. You could follow along with everything I'm going to cover today. We're actually going to start in the book of 1 Thessalonians. In this book, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And they, like many of the new churches established in the first century, are undergoing a considerable amount of persecution while simultaneously trying to reconcile the Roman religion and society they live in with their view of their new faith in Jesus. They're trying to reconcile this new life that they found in Jesus with this world that they live in, that they've known, mostly for those who are Gentile, they've known their whole lives, Roman religion, society, culture, politics. They're trying to figure out, how do I live and build my life on truth while navigating all of the information, all of the opinions, all of the ideas that exist within the Roman culture of the first century. And the combination of these two things has left the church in Thessalonica vulnerable. So Paul writes, first, to encourage them, and second, to challenge them. And in particular, Paul wants the church in Thessalonica to know they have hope for the future and they have a purpose for the present. And as Paul closes the book, he gives this instruction that serves as a challenge for what to do with all of the confusing and conflicting information that is surrounding these first newborn Christians in Thessalonica. And for most of them, keep in mind, for most of them, they are coming out of decades of believing in and worshiping false gods like Dionysus and Aphrodite, sorting out what they have known from what they now know about Jesus has left many of them to question what is right and what is not, what is true and what is false. How do I sift through everything that I've known and all the information that's coming my way from Roman culture with everything that I am learning about who Jesus is and what he has called my life to be? And so to this, Paul addresses them in this way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies. But test everything that is said, hold on to what is good, stay away from every kind of evil. Let me just read that last part again. This is so important for us. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said, hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil. And Paul is addressing here the two extremes that people can often swing to when faced with gobs of information that is conflicting and confusing. The first that he addresses are those who become skeptics. The skeptic finds it hard to believe anything anyone ever says. They're overly critical of everything they hear, no matter if it's found in truth or not. I'm right and you're wrong. And there is an arrogance with the skeptic that says, I know better, and I refuse to believe anything that doesn't align with what I have resolved is true. And the issue with this posture is that it denies God's word and the Spirit the ability to change and transform a human soul. Just because we haven't believed it doesn't make it any less true. Believing in and following Jesus requires a recognition that we don't have it all figured out. And we need guidance from God's word, God's community, and the Holy Spirit. We need that. And the skeptic, Paul is pointing out, the skeptic misses out on what God is revealing to them. And as Paul says, ends up stifling the Spirit. The skeptic says no to everything. Sometimes in protection of their own selves, self-preservation, if you will. Because if I don't have to deal with it, if I don't have to believe in it, then I can just turn internal and I can live my life the way I want to live it. But God has a different plan for us. He wants to change us from the inside out, and he cannot do that if we are so skeptical of everything we see and hear that we just put up a barrier and never allow his truth to permeate our lives. The other extreme that Paul addresses here is that when people swing to one side of all this gobs of information, confusing information, is when they swing to the side of the simpleton. And the simpleton is incapable or unwilling to evaluate the information that comes their way. Oh, that's new information. Cool. Birds aren't real. I get it. All right. Yeah, I got it. They hear something and it too quickly or easily becomes true for them. The issue with this posture is that it can lead to a false sense of security and destructive behaviors. The gullibility of the simpleton causes them to be blown around by whatever new information comes their way. One day they believe this, the next day they believe that. They'll believe things that even conflict with each other internally. They'll say one thing and do another. It also keeps them from fully establishing a foundation in God's word and the Holy Spirit. One day they follow it, the next day they're on to the next thing. Now, fortunately, Paul does not discriminate in 1 Thessalonians 5. He's an equal opportunity offender almost all of the time. He addresses both extremes by saying, don't stifle the Spirit. Don't be so skeptical that you can no longer hear God's voice in your life. Don't be so skeptical that when the church and the body of Christ speaks into your life, that you are so arrogant in your own belief system that you cannot hear his voice any longer. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, he also says, I also want you to test everything you hear. Don't be a simpleton. Don't just walk through life like, wow, that's really cool. That's something I should believe. Oh, wow, that's really cool too. I should believe that. I know it conflicts with that thing, but I'll believe them both anyway. I don't know how that works. Don't be a simpleton. He's saying, test everything. Not everything you hear is true. Paul is saying this. I'm just going to paraphrase his words here in 1 Thessalonians 5. He's saying, I want you to be open, but not naive. I want you to be open, but not naive. I want you to be open to hear what the Spirit is doing in your life, to listen to the opinions and the information that's coming your way. But I don't want you to be so naive that you believe anything and everything that's said to you. I want you to test it. John, one of Jesus' first followers, he writes something very similar to what Paul says in 1 John chapter 4. He says this, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. I love that phrase. They're on the loose, like preachers on the loose. Like, what's going on? It's a crazy idea. You can almost hear John paraphrasing something that is said and written in Proverbs chapter 14. Solomon writes, the gullible believe anything they're told. The prudent sift and weigh every word. In other words, be open to what is being said. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't determine before you ever hear anything, oh, it can't possibly be the Spirit or the voice of God. I couldn't possibly believe something like that. But also make sure you examine whatever you hear, whatever you read, whatever you see on your feed, examine it before blindly believing it. The challenge Paul and John give us is to not swing to one extreme or the other, to not become the full-blown skeptic or the naive simpleton, but instead to be people who are open to receiving what God would have and say to us, but not naive. So naive that we would believe anything and everything that someone tells us. So I want to help us get there today, because I think we all agreed earlier that this causes great anxiety in our lives. Like, I want to hear the voice of God. I want to know what God wants with my life and for my life. But there are so many conflicting information, even in the church sometimes, there seems to be so much misinformation, so much stuff that's just being pile-drived into my brain, I can't seem to sift through it. So I want to help us today take a step in the right direction and beginning to experience that peace that Paul talks about that transcends all understanding. If we want to be people who are open to what God has to say to us, but not so naive that we believe everything, the first thing we have to do is we've got to discern and look at and examine our inputs. You're not going to like this part. The old saying, right? Garbage in, garbage out. That's not just true of the physical life, although that is true of the physical life as well. It's also true of our spiritual lives. If we are feeding our minds and our hearts a constant barrage of garbage information, it will be extremely difficult for us to evaluate what is true and what is not. And I just want to be real for a moment, because if you're spending more time scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok than reading your Bible and in prayer, you are in danger of losing sight of what is true. Influencers on social media might be good for giving new recipes or workout routines or working on my golf swing, but they are not good at dispensing truth for us. I'm not saying you should never engage with social media. You should. And nor am I saying you should just become skeptical of everything you ever see on a platform like social media. But I am saying that you need to consider the time that you spend on it and how you can be open but not naive to everything you see or hear. If people send me stuff, I don't even look at it most of the time anymore. I can't believe it. Like, you got to watch this, Pastor Ryan. No, I do not have to watch that. Nor should you be. Now listen, social media is just one of the many ways that we may blindly be ingesting information that may not be serving us well. It can also come in the form of podcasts, books, Netflix, 24-hour news platforms. They're not guilty of this at all. Some of you have an obsession with 24-hour news channels. I'm serious. And I think you need to examine your input. I'm all for knowing what's going on in the world, but if your Fox News or your MSNBC is on 24 hours a day, you are going to be filled with so much conflicting information, you won't know what to do with yourself. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't engage in those things. In fact, I think it's good to know what's going on in the world, and it's good to listen to new opinions through dialogue and humor on podcasts, and it's good to watch film and TV for entertainment. Those are good things. I'm just saying, let's be open but not naive to what we're ingesting and examine what our inputs are in our lives. Because the devil will use just about anything to misguide us, to send us off track. Are we willing to examine the inputs of information in our lives? Maybe one of the reasons we're so anxiety-ridden is that we've got too many inputs of information coming our way. And we just need to cut some of those off. Second thing, we want to be people that are open to what God is saying to us, but not so naive as we got to consider the whole. Now, here's what I mean by this. One of my big pet peeves among Christian influencers, preachers, scholars, just everyday followers of Jesus, and was when truth is declared without considering the whole narrative of Scripture. Plucking information from the Bible or from extra biblical resources without considering the context or the whole of Scripture is a dangerous and destructive process. All sorts of evils have come from this sort of irresponsible hermeneutic, which is just another big fancy word for interpretation method. All sorts of evils in the name of Jesus Christ have come from this sort of irresponsible plucking from the Bible without consideration of the whole narrative of Scripture. Evils like the mistreatment of women and children in the name of Jesus Christ. The enslavement of people based on the color of their skin. Misdirected political ideologies. We are struggling with that in America today. Incorrect understandings of human sexuality and behaviors. The list, I could go on and on and on the ways in which we have tried to extract what we believe to be true from the whole of Scripture and said, this is what God means by that. And in the process we've created all sort of destructive behaviors and institutions in our world. And we got to be careful of that. If we want to be people who are open but not naive, we can't just pluck things from the Bible and say, well, this is true, just throw it on the wall outside of the grand narrative of what God is doing in this redemptive history of His. If you have ever been tempted to pluck a singular verse or passage from Scripture without considering the whole, beware. When you hear something from another Christian, pastor, author, be open but not naive when scripture seems to fall outside of the historical and biblical context that verse is in. Remember what John said? There are all sorts of preachers who are lying and they're on the loose. Consider the whole. Not everything that everybody says, including Christians, is true. Consider the whole. Examine it before you just blindly believe it. You know what? You should examine what I say before you just blindly believe it. Now, everything I say is true. So, see, that was a lie. I'm on the loose. Look out. Yeah. The point is this. If we want to be open but not naive, we've got to be people who have a broad understanding of what God has done. And the only way you can do that is if you know what God has done. If you've spent your time reading the scriptures, sitting in these seats, listening to who God is and what he has done, that's the only way that you will begin to sift through some of this stuff. Last thing, we want to be people who are open to what God is saying to us, but not so naive. We've got to prioritize our time. Paul writes these words in Colossians 3. He says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. In other words, if you want the truth of Jesus to fill your life, if you want to experience a peace that transcends understanding, you will need to evaluate and prioritize how you're spending your time. If you're only connected with the teaching of God's word once, maybe twice a month, you only join in worship on a Sunday morning intermittently, the odds of you becoming more and more naive to what is true and what is false increases greatly over time. You cannot outrun false beliefs without being connected to the source of truth on a Sunday morning, in community throughout the week, and through personal quiet time with his scriptures on a daily basis. If you prioritize things above of all of those, you will very quickly find yourself becoming a walking contradiction in the world. You will say you believe one thing when actually you believe another. You'll say you're a devoted to Jesus, but what you believe and how you live will begin to look contrary to it. I actually think that Stevie Wonder was sort of a modern day prophet. And he sort of transcended generations with this song, Superstition. He was tapping into something God has been encouraging his people to do since the beginning of time. I want you to be open. Don't stifle the Spirit. He is at work. He is moving. He will speak to you through God's word, through God's people, in worship, in community together. He will speak to you. Don't stifle him. Be open. But don't be so naive that you will believe every single thing that you hear. Test it. God has given us his word for a very specific reason, not only to know him, but so that we can begin to be people who sift through all of the misinformation in the world, and we are able to declare what is true and what is not. Be open, but not naive to what you hear. Like Stevie Wonder says, give in to superstitions or false information, and you will suffer. God doesn't want us to suffer, not in that way. And it's my hope that as you leave this place this morning, you will do so with greater confidence to hear God's voice in your life while sifting through the constant barrage of false information in the world. It's my hope that you'll see Jesus and his teachings as the ultimate guide for all of life, and that you'll see the church as a place to better understand and to discern where God is leading you in life. I know that even as I wrote this message, that the wheels began turning in my own mind, that I recognize that I've become too open to certain things, that I become naive even to certain things. But that at times I also have a tendency to sort of stifle the Spirit. Oh, that couldn't possibly be God. He couldn't possibly be asking me to do that thing. And so I've even had to, in the last few days, examine my inputs and, and consider the whole of God's narrative and some of the things that I've bought into. I've had to take time to go, how am I spending my time? And how is that affecting me and what I believe? I hope you'll do the same. Jesus wants what's best for us. He wants to put to bed all of the false information that keeps coming our way by allowing us and enabling us to sift through it in a godly, responsible way. I pray that for you this morning. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word, your truth. And we recognize it is overwhelming in our world. The amount of information and opinion and editorial and just, it's overwhelming. It's causing incredible amounts of anxiety in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, we would be people who are open to hear what you would have to say to us, but not so naive that we would believe everything that comes our way. Lord, may we be people of your word. May it become the source of truth for us. May we better understand the story of your redemptive act in history through Jesus Christ. May we better understand the calling and the purpose that you've placed on our life. May you help us be people who hear your voice louder than anything else in our lives. I thank you, Jesus, for the ways that you have guided us to this place, for the way that you showed us what it means to truly follow you. I ask that we would be people, as we walk this place, out of this place this morning, who would follow you more closely because of what we've heard here today. We pray all this in your name. Amen.